Our big vision is that you'll walk into a retailer or you'll walk into anywhere and they will have a reuse program that is powered by Good Goods. And it will apply to the cup that you get at the coffee stand, to the packaging you got for your shampoo, all the way through to the wine.
Welcome to the Virginia Foodie Podcast, where we lift the lid on the craft food industry and tell the stories behind the good food, good people, and good brands that you know and love. If you've ever come across a yummy food brand and wondered, how did they do that? How did they turn that recipe into a successful business? Then we've got some stories for you. Hi, foodies. Welcome back to the podcast. You know, the pandemic has put a magnifying glass on so many aspects of the local food movement. And one topic that may or may not surprise you is the search for sustainable packaging. I've been involved in a lot of discussions this year about how to reduce the footprint of mission-driven food brands. Coupled with the squeeze on supply chains, introducing packaging that uses fewer resources is not just good for the planet, it's a good business move. Because October is Virginia Wine Month and we're celebrating all things wine in and around the Commonwealth, I reached out to Zach Lawless, the CEO and co-founder of Good Goods, a company that is inventing a circular supply chain for wine bottles by introducing reuse into the experience. Zach is a serial entrepreneur and a passionate social impact creator with professional experience across the fields of sustainability, finance, and food and wine. Motivated to find a solution to growing global plastic waste and the recycling crisis of 2017, Zach decided to start his own business to solve some of these challenges. He first launched Fresh Bowl in 2017, a business that provided grab-and-go food served in reusable containers in New York City. They designed an innovative model for engaging and incentivizing customers to return used containers, eventually collecting 85% of its packages back, proof that customers can and will participate in reuse programs, particularly if they're present with the right goals. In 2020, he launched Good Goods to introduce reuse as a service in the U.S. wine industry. The company takes a two-pronged approach. One, they pick up, sanitize, and resell existing bottles to producers, building reuse into the wine lifecycle. And two, they provide standardized, reusable branded bottles to wineries across the U.S. With each purchase, Good Goods manages a customer loyalty program that incentivizes future purchases, collecting valuable customer data and building relationships in the process. Listen to Zach tell about his plans to bring the reuse economy to the wine industry. It's an interesting model that's of particular interest to true land and brand stewards. Zach, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Georgiana. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the podcast today.
Sure. I'm excited to have you because I think your product line kind of aligns with our listeners' interests. So I would love if you could introduce yourself and your company and give us an idea of what you're up to these days.
Yeah, awesome. So I'll introduce myself first and then kind of go into the company. So as you introduced, my name is Zach Wallace. I am the CEO of Good Goods. Good Goods is a company that creates reuse activations for both brands and retailers that engage consumers to actually return the products or the packaging for those products. And the reason I use engaging is because we really focus on how to build programs that customers want to use and how to create programs where customers will actually return that packaging. Because the one thing that we do know about reuse systems is that it doesn't matter how efficient your logistics are, how great your sanitization is, if you can't get the packaging back, you can't accomplish your goal. So that is really what our goal as a company is. I've been personally working in the reuse space now for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. I came into it actually from an investing background. So I was working in social impact investing at the time, became really enamored with how can we use business to create solutions to some of the world's biggest problems. Mm-hmm. And really, how can that value the businesses from how they're hiring talent, how they're growing, partnerships that they can have. And the first business that I got into was actually doing grab and go food in reusable containers. So we launched this in about 2017, around the same time that China had stopped accepting plastics. And so we did reusable containers really as a way to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And we went in completely blind to how to build a reuse model. We really did it just how everybody else is, saying, okay, it was $8 salad. Let's put $2 onto the deposit and we'll give that $2 back to the customer. But 2 months into the whole program, we were getting 20% of our packaging back. And our number one complaint from customer surveys was that the customer had to return the packaging.
So, that's the whole program.
Yeah, that was the whole program. So what we learned really quickly is that we were competing with disposability as a product feature for the products we were making. And disposability is a very convenient product feature, very hard one to beat for sure. And so we had to go back and think about how do we create a model that makes it easier or more engaging for consumers to return.
And is that why you use that phrase reuse activation? It's like you're trying to activate that audience to participate?
Yeah, because reuse is really about building a network, right? You have to be able to get people to return products back. You have to be able to get retailers to bring those products back. You have to get producers to actually utilize reusable packaging. And so the whole idea is how can we activate all three of those parties at the same time to get reuse to actually take hold?
So this was Grab and Go Food Solutions. That's one company. And that you started in New York in 2017. Is that still moving forward?
Yeah. So the Grab and Go Food Fresh Bowl, my Fresh Bowl is still going on. We're at about 30 locations in New York City. Mostly now since the pandemic in private offices and things of that nature. Right. Prior to the pandemic, we were in subway centers, college campuses, public locations. So it just kind of, the pandemic really moved us more into private locations and then also gave us opportunities to take a step back and think about what industry can we make the biggest impact with our model. And that's how we got into wine.
Okay. So you're in wine now with Good Goods. Is this just your first Good Goods product in the long run, or is just wine your focus for Good Goods?
The big vision is definitely that there's more than wine. We are solely focused on wine at the moment. So I'll make that very clear. But our big vision is that you'll walk into a retailer or you'll walk into anywhere and they will have a reuse program that is powered by Good Goods. And it will apply to the cup that you get at the coffee stand, to the packaging you got for your shampoo, all the way through to the wine. So really about more of creating a model for reuse in general.
So I want to go back and ask you about the pandemic. You launched into wine in 2020. So you're using glass bottles. And how is that working just with the pandemic in general?
Prior to the pandemic, we were focused on grab and go food. During the pandemic, everything kind of closed down and foot traffic at our locations, about 95% of our public locations, foot traffic and sales stopped the day that COVID hit. So we had to really focus on kind of where do we want to move. And we made that transition into wine because we thought what we believe is that if reuse is going to be successful, wine needs to be the category that leads reuse into more of a mass market program. That's because wine is in durable, reusable bottles already. It's highly standardized. So there's the market can adopt it pretty quickly. Something like 75% of the volume within the wine industry could be moved to just 6 formats of bottles without ever changing the production line for those wines.
Oh, okay. You answered my question before I asked. So it's highly standardized. There's not a lot of shapes. So that's good.
Yeah. Some people are like, oh, well, I use a slightly different tint to my bottle. But the thing about wine that's so unique is that, for instance, it could easily move over. You as a producer can transition to reusable bottles way quicker than most industries. For instance, Häagen-Dazs moved over to a reusable aluminum container for some of their SKUs. Uh-huh. And that process took 2.5 years because they had to completely redesign the packaging. They had to change over their manufacturing lines. They had to do a ton to be able to have that to happen. But 75% of the wine industry could literally switch tomorrow and start doing reusable bottles. So there's an opportunity for wine to move very quickly.
So tell me about this from the wine producer's standpoint. Like, what changes other than having to choose from some standardized bottles? What other changes could they expect?
The main change that they need to make is really changing the adhesive for the bottle. So the main thing coming between being able to reuse a wine bottle and not is how easy it is to wash off that label. So just making sure that they're using a label that can, or where the adhesive can come off, is really the main part of integrating into our program. We even allow options for the producer to use their existing bottle as long as it's durable enough to go through the sanitization process.
So now I got way more technical questions about this because I'm so curious. So the wine producer would then be ordering Shiners empty bottles from you, right?
Yep.
And my understanding, these are only corked, right? So not screw tops at this time.
Yeah, this time we only provide cork. Some of our producers that are using their existing bottles are in screw top, but if you're using one of our standardized bottles, it's a cork top.
Okay. So if they're just switching over to your bottles, they're going to order them from you, run them through their regular production process, cork them, label them with a special adhesive, sell them to their wine clubs, and then how do we get those bottles back?
So they'll sell them to the distributor. They'll sell them to a retailer the same way that they normally do. Mm-hmm. The difference now is that customer comes back to the retailer. They return that bottle by scanning a QR code on the back of the bottle, and they'll get a credit, a store credit, towards their next purchase. The next time that they want to purchase something at that store, they just show the retailer their, or either give the retailer the phone number or show them their unique identifier, which is a QR code, and the retailer will apply that dollar credit towards their next purchase.
Okay, so you're using a QR code to connect the consumer back to the point of purchase, yep. Which another thing is it's an incentive to drive traffic back into the original venue, right? Is to come back.
That's correct. And that's why retailers love the program so much, is because we're getting customers back in the door on average in 5 days, which is a much quicker turnaround than normal for their customers.
Wow. Okay. They take that wine home, drink it, and they're right back there.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround.
So one other thing I noticed reading up about your product is for your production generated bottles, you're using a little bit heavier weight glass than possibly. Is that right? You talked about having bottles that need to survive the sanitation process. So you're using a specific type of bottle.
Well, so the nice thing about glass in general is It is durable and reusable, and it's standard format. We just never honor it as such, right? The only difference is that in some cases, lightweighting has become the environmental thing to do by decreasing the weight of the glass to reduce the environmental impact of transporting it. Right. But in those cases, sometimes the glass becomes so extremely thin that it doesn't hold up to the recollection sanitization process as well as we would hope. And then you'd have high levels of breakage. So anything above really like 450 grams on bottle size has the durability to participate in the program. We have our bottles that are just around 500 grams. So I would say it is not necessarily on the heavy side of a wine bottle, but it's not on the far end of lightweighting. Our goal is to really reach that leverage point of what is the lightest bottle that we can use so that we can reduce the transportation, but also not reduce the integrity for reuse.
Yeah, with some of the wine brands I've worked with, that the weight of a bottle of wine is always an issue for wine clubs, because if you're buying into a club that's not in your region, then you have to deal with shipping. And that's always a big added cost to the product, as well as an environmental impact.
Yeah, that's cost. The nice thing about it is that a lot of the shippers that we use and that the wine brands use are generally flat rate. So the weight of the glass is not significant enough that it changes the cost point or the price point of shipping for a lot of them, but it also just depends on what logistics provider you're using.
So what is the best size? Who are your best partners? Does it make sense? Because I imagine that there is a little bit of an upcharge on this bottle if it has to move back and forth a bit. It's a lot of questions in one.
Not so much of an upcharge on it. The one thing that the producer does have to do is get the deposit integrated into the supply. Right. So sometimes the distributor will add the deposit. Sometimes the producer will add the deposit. That's like the big hurdle or the big cost for the producer. But for the most part, the bottle price for what we can wash and get it back to them is pretty competitive with the price that they would get a new bottle for. So From that standpoint, the pricing isn't much different. For who we look at is really being our target size. We don't have a real true target size of a producer. We have interest in our partnering with people kind of across the board, from some of the largest wineries in the United States to some of the more local, smaller wineries as well too. What I would say is that the local smaller wineries that work more with like independent retailers, those ones tend to move quicker and they tend to have the ability to get to market a lot quicker. Yeah, much more nimble. So most of our producers who are in the market currently are definitely some more small independent producers working with independent retailers. But hopefully towards end of Q1 next year, we'll have some much bigger producers that are joining on the platform.
Mm-hmm. So that deposit then is the big incentive to bring people back, right? There's like a little surcharge on that bottle. And if you bring that bottle back, you get it off. Or are they doing it sort of embedded in the bottle price and you just get a credit to your next purchase?
So this is part of kind of the really we're testing and learning, which is around this idea of what is it that incentivizes a customer to return. And I think that we've had some of these really early learnings in Good Goods or in Fresh Bowl when we were doing the grab and go food. So I think I mentioned we did $8 salads with a $2 deposit. You bring it back to $2, right? Little things we did changed that to the point that we were getting an 80% return rate across our platform. One of the most significant changes we made was instead of saying it's an $8 salad with a $2 deposit, is now it's a $10 salad with a $2 reward. And it was the same pricing, same structure, but we just positioned the customer differently. And that those little things changed, like I said, to get us to an 80% return rate, but it also made the ability to return the bottles the number two feature that people liked about our salads. Other things that you can do to really increase their return rates is make the packaging feel more valuable to the customer, right? One of the examples I always give people is that almost everyone who buys Apple products has like a drawer full of like boxes for Apple products that they got that they just haven't thrown the boxes away for, right?
I confess. Yeah.
Yeah. That box, it feels the quality of that product or that quality of that packaging is so high that you feel bad throwing it away. You've built the packaging itself holds a goodwill with the customer. And so if you can increase that goodwill, people are more willing to go out of their way to make sure it goes back to the right home, back to the right place to be reused. And so we even just change certain things about it, like changing from a plastic lid to a metal lid and things like that. And those also increase the ability to return. So we actually have a blog post about this, but there's a number of levers that any brand can pull to be able to increase returns. What we look at is the incentive is more of a justification. People. People generally aren't bringing it back because a dollar is worth the time, because it's such a like large monetary thing, but they do want to feel like they're receiving something for it.
I was just going to say is what does that dollar represent? And how do you do that? And you mentioned something in there. There's a little trick in those punch cards at coffee shops. You know, it's like buy five, get one free, or you go buy 10 and we'll give you the first two punches. You know, yeah. And so it even actually ends up costing slightly more, but because you feel a little bit farther along the continuum, that you're more likely to come back and start filling that up. So just that flip around by saying a $10 salad and a $2 bonus towards your next one, it's the same money, right?
Yeah.
It's just it has a different meaning.
And it's funny, it's a new wave of consumer psychology. We put so much thought into how do we get people to buy things for so long. But this is like a new frontier. No one's really thought about how do I get people to return it, right? You can talk to people at big corporations and they'll tell you that like, if our salesman wears a blue shirt, we sell more products, right? Like that level of precision you'll see from people who own businesses. But you don't have anybody in the world right now who's saying, if my salesman wears, or if my text messages says, it says like their name in it to get them to come back, that they'll have a higher return rate. Like that level of precision is not in the return world yet.
Right, right. I've been in so many discussions this year about the recycle chain. So this is really interesting. So to recap, you either provide the bottles or in some instances, you can use bottles that a vineyard already has.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing is making sure you have the right adhesive on your label. It doesn't really matter what shape or size the label is, as long as it comes off easily.
Correct.
In the reclamation process.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, that's really exciting. I think I was coming into this maybe slightly skeptical, like how different is this from, you know, the milkman? But it sounds like a really interesting and exciting model. Right now, you are in New York. but I'm speaking to you in Virginia. Where can people find you and learn more about your products?
Yeah, so we are exclusively in New York at the moment. We're at about going on 100 retailers in New York. And the idea being that we're going to prove the model out within New York and then expand by the end of the year. So at the end of the year, we'll be moving into California, Washington, Oregon, and then we'll be moving out to Florida, the rest of the East Coast, kind of Texas is the next step. So hopefully by middle of next year, we'll be in Virginia. That's the goal right now. And yeah, and then anybody who's in New York can stop by any one of our retailers. There is a link on our website to the different retailers that are participating. And then there's also a link on our website to any of the wine brands that are participating as well, too. So majority of the wine brands actually sell their direct-to-consumer products in the reusable packaging as well, too, so that if you're located in your retailer, you can return it as well.
And your website is thegoodgoods.com, is that correct?
Thegoodgoods.co.
Thegoodgoods.co. So we'll have that link in our show notes, and hopefully by next year's harvest, we'll see some of your bottles in Virginia.
Yeah, that's the plan. We'd be thrilled. I'll send you a message as soon as we're in Virginia. If you or any of your listeners are in New York or California or Washington next year, keep an eye out for Good Goods. Visit our website and see the producers that are jumping on board. We're really excited, especially about the early producers that are coming on board. We've got an incredible director of wine who's making sure that all the wines that are in the program are amazing. So not only do you get the benefits of sustainability, but you also get the benefits of getting a great wine. So hopefully you'll be able to look at the Good Goods section in the store and know that you're getting a quality wine and one that cares about the environmental footprint as well.
That's great. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your products with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about how to grow your own food brand, then click on Grow My Brand at vafoodie.com. If you're a lover of local food, then be sure to follow us. We are at vafoodie on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Join the conversation and tell us about your adventures with good food, good people, and good brands.